And where would I be covering Reyna without at least playing some sort of luchadora music? So I'm going to do that before we officially get going here.
Nena loca, me tiene loco en la cabeza cuando me tocas. Siento que todo está bien. Desde que te vi, yo vivo diferente. No me importa a mí lo que dice la gente. Porque tú siempre la prendes candela.
And there we go. Joshi 2010's journey. Here we are. I believe this is episode 73. It is finally time to cover the promotion Reyna. And we're kicking it off with the joint show with Wave from November 27th, 2012, Corken Hall. 838 people announced in attendance. And boy, if this is 800, this is a full 800. The red seats, the whole back area look to be completely filled. Not a whole lot of chair seats going on, but those were full. I mean, this was a very packed. So either they gave us the actual attendance, or they undersold it. And something tells me, why would you undersell it in an era where most of these attendances are very much inflated through a lot of these promotions at this time? So it gives me a little bit more perspective what 800 looks like when I start covering more modern type stuff. But again, it just gives more credence to those Oz Academy numbers and those Diana numbers and the like of what we see. So yes, Reyna, very much in conjunction in the doing a women's group division type thing in Japan, and introducing the Reyna de Reynas Championship. This is the first of many, many, hopefully future shows that we will be doing for Reyna, as we get to see the women of AAA. AAA are here, such as Sexy Star, Fabi Apache, and the like. We're going to see a lot of them. And where it gets interesting is, well, I mean, we've been covering a lot of CMLL women's division. We just did the Joshi 2010's Mexican Luchadora history review a few episodes ago, which we got to see a lot of the CMLL women. And notably, was not able to find any tape of the women from AAA during that era. But here we are. Reyna de Reynas, the introduction tournament for the title in conjunction with the promotion Wave. So they're the ones to do it, and I was really looking forward to this because I have seen only a few scattered matches from Reyna that kind of made the rounds when I was first getting into Joshi, and a lot of people seemed to like it. A lot of good archival A lot of archives out there for Reyna. And this will be exciting. 838 at Corken Hall. One of the better Corken Hall attendances for Joshi in 2012. And boy, promotions would kill to have that today. And this had a lot of interest because we got over the Dual Shock Wave tournament, in which Ohada and Fujimoto won. So in the main event, they will be taking on Gami and Tomoka Nakagawa, as well as a couple strong offer matches. The AAA Reyna de Reynas tournament is throughout the show in basically the undercard. They had some tournament matches that went into it prior to the show. And then we have a trios match featuring, not kidding, Shima and Rey Fénix. Just randomly on this show. Pretty wild just to have in the mid card, but that's kind of your midpoint match where the AAA women begin the show essentially, and the Wave women end the show. So I kind of like how this is split up, and it's a good introduction to what AAA and the Luchadora is going to offer Japan going forward when they run these shows. And I really want to do a on-the-air live look at Reyna and their schedule going forward from here. So I'm going to click on events. Not sure how much Cage Match has kept over with this, but from 2012. So they have done some UWWR shows as kind of that's been happening over the course of a year, and it never really went anywhere. And Yumika Hotta was the champion, never really in it, and vacated, and just a mess, right? Could never get going. And then about the midpoint of 2012, they started Reina X the World, okay? And we got Shimmer women showing up, AAA women kind of being introduced for the first time. We got the closure of these Tajiri promotions left and right. So Shuri is now in the wild again, if you will. And sure enough, she is going to be a huge part of Reina. And of course, there's the top two freelancers of the scene, Kana and Ayumi Kurihara, easily the two best in the scene right now. If I'm putting my money where my mouth is, I mean, just look at the match guide that you can pull up in the Google Drive to see who the wrestlers of the year are all the time. Kana, when she's featured on any cards, she's way up there, but Ayumi Kurihara is just all over this thing. Okay. There's a big match here I can't wait to talk about on this very card featuring Kurihara, and even Kana threw in a good effort there. So that brings us to this show in November, and it's more or less, it's not the end of Reina X the World, but it is a good starting point, and that's why I haven't really gone into much of what this promotion is just yet, because they do have a tag tournament when they kick it off, and we've seen these tag titles before with Shida and Fujimoto having won this thing and taking it into Ice Ribbon and the like. Zeuxis is on that card. Commandant is there, so we're getting the CMLL women across that. But as we know, CMLL and AAA do not get along. That's a big important factor here as we go through the promotion and this clear flip to AAA without any CMLL women on there anymore. Okay. So as we look forward to what's happening here throughout, well, we'll get into 2013. I'm seeing, well, Zeuxis is a freelancer at this point in time. She becomes CMLL eventually. But we still got, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so they run about a show a month throughout the year for Reina. Hey, as long as we get some interesting shows there and we can cover them and something looks good, we'll be covering Reina in 2013. Very, very excited. So away from JWP into this new promotion, we begin with a five-way tag. Makoto Moika Haruhi defeat Hikaru Shida, Nagase Nozaki, Ryu Mizunami and Yu Yamagata, Ayuki and Sawaka Shimono, and Cherry and Shu Shibatani. A wacky nothing, just hodgepodge tag match, 5 minutes 40 seconds, not even worth going into, but there you go. Just a bunch of freelancers and some of the wave talent, just kind of mixing it up. And then we got a farce. Sakura Hirota coming out dressed as Chigusa Nagayo against the retiring Ran Yuyu. She is very much on retirement road here. That's the path we've gone down. And, Ran Yuyu beats the hell out of her, comedy spots, hits a big forearm, and Sakura Hirota then falls on her dead weight and pins Ran Yuyu in 434. And Ran Yuyu is flailing like a dead fish because she can't get Sakura Hirota off her. Ha ha, funny, funny, awful. Hate it. Once you've seen them all, you've seen them all. Reina de Reinas semifinal match. Match number one, Jennifer Blake against Sexy Star. Yes, the aforementioned, now canceled Sexy Star after she broke the arm of Rosemary in AAA a number of years ago. Hasn't wrestled since, nor should she. She notoriously has a bad attitude. People didn't like working with her, and that effectively ended her career. Could she make a return to AAA in the future? I don't know. Conan seems to have some sort of code when it comes to women wrestlers. In particular, if they show disrespect, he'll never book them again because they're not men. he's got a weird thing about that. But regardless of my thoughts on Conan and his booking morals, Sexy Star should not be. And it's going to be awkward to talk about Sexy Star going forward, but here we are. Jennifer Blake, stereotypical hot blonde woman you would swear was in WWE at one point. She's a AAA wrestler, and her and Sexy Star have a pretty subpar 11-minute match, as we'll call it. And Sexy Star, notably her finisher, is either the gory special, or, as we'll see more and more, a spinning fisherman suplex deal. You may have seen Starlight Kid kind of hit this as a big transition move. Where you get them in the fisherman suplex hold, and then you just spin them onto their neck. It's a cool, effective-looking move. I think it's in a very acceptable finisher. Sexy Star in this match, in her gear, was just doing her damnedest to try to keep her exceptionally large and beautiful breasts within the tights. And when she comes out later, she does not have this gear on a second time. It was 11 minutes of the struggle. Jennifer Blake shaking the ass, being a blonde. You know, match wasn't great. We'll put it that way. We follow that up with Fabby Apache in a 10.5-minute match against known as Kaguya. This is a masked Mio Shirai, in which she is just weirdly all over these promotions right now. Champion of Ice Ribbon, showing up in Wave and Oz Academy. In those two promotions, she's more or less booked like an undercard to jobber type, but get flashy little roll-up wins. She's not taken seriously, and in this match, this reminds me of like a Chris Statland or Carrie job, where Fabby Apache is just flipping all over the place, running all over the place, doing big moves. The crowd's kind of popping for her. She's playing off the crowd. Fabby Apache rules. She is so good, and Mio Shirai is just struggling to keep the mask in place. She's doing her best. She's getting the shit kicked out of her. It's a typical Wave match for Mio Shirai. And then, sure enough, as the Kaguya that she is in this particular match, she gets a flash little, not even an Oklahoma roll. It was like a Cazadora roll, and pins Fabby Apache, and she moves on to the finals to face Sexy Star. And it's basically right after this match. The DVD, from what I could tell, has the matches all over the place. And then Cage Match has, I think, the correct order of operations here. So, I believe with the exception of this, I believe they do the Trios match. And then right after that is the Kaguya Fabby Kaguya Sexy Star finals match. So they get to have a few 10 to 15 minute break there in between, figure things out. So I'm going to then move on to the trios match, where it was Ayako Hamada, Bachiko, and Shima defeating Rey Fénix, Lolita, and Pimpinella Escalada. 10.5 minutes this went. Fénix and Shima were absolutely phenomenal in this. A lot of Ayaka Hamada hitting big suplexes on Pimpinella and Lolita. Bachiko was kind of in and out when needed. This was just exciting, simple lucha libre, and kind of a precursor to what Ayaka Hamada's future in wrestling was going to be. Simple, and it was just fun seeing a young Rey Fénix in this, and he's doing a lot of his moves. It even took me a second to realize that was indeed Rey Fénix until he did his double little rope entrance there, jumping off the middle to the top and flipping, and you're like, oh, okay, I think that's Rey Fénix. Sure enough. And Shima's out there being Shima. So we move on. Sexy Star versus the masked Mio Shirai Kaguya for the Reina de Reinas title. So to crown your first champion and take this title over to Mexico and flip between the two. Sexy Star pretty much obliterates Mio Shirai in 11 minutes. And the match isn't great. Sexy Star is not a good worker. Mio Shirai is acceptable. But it really makes me wish Fabio Pacci was in this position instead, because Fabio Pacci is a much better wrestler than the two. We'll get there someday. But Sexy Star, enormous ego on this person, you can tell, as she's always trying to get the crowd to chant for her. Mio Shirai, not really sure why she was in this position in the first place. But I guess we couldn't book a wave talent in this position instead. We had to put a mask on him. I don't know. It was very perplexing to me how they came to this conclusion. But there was better matches to come. So Sexy Star does hit the gory special. Kaguya kicks out. And then we go through a series of awkward moves, especially at the end. They do some decent Lucha Libre spots at the beginning. Do some face washing. And once Kaguya kicks out of this gory bomb, it was dead to rights here as Sexy Star hits the spinning fisherman to win and become the champion. She did change gears a third time, continuing to make you think that, look, she came prepared. She got the gear. Okay. So props to her, I suppose. So then we get to the final three here. Shuri versus Ayumi Kurihara. And here I am thinking, all right, I like both these wrestlers. I've seen a lot of Kana versus Shuri lately. This is a good, you know, it wouldn't have shocked me if Kana and Shuri just had another singles match. We've seen so many of them. We even did it on the previous episode where we covered two of them. But here we have Ayumi Kurihara and Shuri. And this ruled 12 and a half minutes. And I could not believe my eyes. So Kurihara comes out, gets a bunch of streamers, and Shuri comes out and they just start going to blows in the middle of the streamers being thrown. They're tripping. They're getting tied up in it. There's seconds on the outside just trying to do their best to clear all these streamers as they are just giving each other forearms. They're slapping. They're trying to kick, but the streamers are in the way, so they're more slapping, more forearms. They do a little brawl outside. They get back in the ring. So like 5 minutes have passed, and it's just pure chaos, right? They finally ring the bell. So this match was really closer to like a 16, 17 minute match. And then they calm down. They try to do some mat wrestling. But instead, it goes back to forearms. And I'm like, this match is straight fire. Kurihara is starting to hit suplexes. Shuri is starting to do big combos with the jumping knee. Knees to the head. Kurihara is down. She's getting punk kicked. It rocks. It rocks from start to finish. And Kurihara gets very close to hitting the T-bone suplex that she's so good at. Instead, she's hitting a couple of Uranagi suplexes. It's like a lesser version of the finisher. No hammerlocks going on. And Shuri's kicking out of all this. And then, all of a sudden, they do a counter sequence, and Shuri hits this massive punt kick on Ayumi Kurihara. It looks eerily similar to a big, like, gasp move that Shuri has in this day and age, and pins this woman 1-2-3. And I'm just going, oh my god. Shuri with the big singles win over Ayumi Kurihara. Now, to be fair, Kurihara is not the most, she's not the heaviest protected wrestler in the scene. Far from it. But she does have the respect of a lot. Like, she's not jobbed out often, right? She hardly ever loses now, but she's also hardly ever booked and put in these positions. So Shuri gets this huge win over Kurihara. It's very emotional. It took me by surprise, and the straight fire, this is a full three match. This is four stars plus, depending on your view of it. To me, it's a top five match of 2012, and I got to think long and hard of where this sucker is going to be, okay? So I'm looking at my match of the year contenders here. And we got, we still got the Kyoko Hariyama title defenses. I still think that's 1-2. And I'm really contemplating if it's better than the Emi Sakura Yonayama against the Nakajima Bolshoi JWP tag title match. And I don't think it's on that level. I might have to rewatch that tag match. But certainly, I am, without question, putting it above the Kurihara Mizunami Catch the Wave final match, and I'm putting it above the Nai Takahashi Meiko Satomura world title match from March 20. So it's at worst going to be 4. Okay? Highest, it's going to be 3. So that's where the position's going to be. So I'm going to rewatch that tag match to make sure that it's better than this, or maybe it's better than the Sakura Yoniyama matches that I just previously mentioned. That's how much I enjoy the fire and shock value of Shuri getting this win. It was so well done. It's to my opinion, it's Shuri's best match of her career to this point, up to 2012 here. This is a must watch. This was incredible. It's if I were to directly compare it to a level of match, I think people would look at this match and think it's as good as the Chihiro Hashimoto Natsupoi type match. Except, imagine if Natsupoi actually won, right? I know Ayumi Kurihara isn't the protected champion level that Hashimoto is, but let's just pretend that the protection is kind of the same, because Kurihara's a top level worker of the scene, and Shuri's an up and comer. I'm not saying Natsupoi is an up and comer, but I hope you're getting the idea of what I'm pushing. At least in terms of match style, it was all certainly here. This was incredible. It's a full-through recommendation. Shuri gets a big win, and I think it really sets up her for good runs in Reyna, and we might have a good promotion here on our hands with someone like Shuri being this level and getting put over strong. And if I immediately go to the Wrestler of the Year rankings here, I think that firmly puts Kurihara ahead of four Wrestler of the Year. She will have 41 points now up to this point in the year. And unless I see 3-4 Hanako Nakamura, Akawa, or Hariyama, or Nakajima, or Nanai matches that get to that level, she's a slam dunk Wrestler of the Year for 2012. That's what we're looking at here. And as for Shuri, all her matches are kind of that one out of the three range, but I mean, that'll put her in the same vein as a top 30, 25 in the scene right now. She's very much low on the totem pole, especially with where she's been hanging out. So maybe, Reyna will be very good for Shuri going forward. So we move on to a Kana versus Yumi Oka singles match. 12 minutes this went, and this was better than either of them put forward in Catch the Wave. Maybe that Tsukasa Fujimoto Yumi Oka match is above it, but I would say with Kana, with her, let's call it skin-colored butt gear she's got going on, it's very much by design. Look, these two put in a good, strong performance. They were in the semi-main of the show. They wanted to make it count. And Yumi Oka was definitely on her A-game. You rarely see her kind of click to this regard. I guess this would only be the second time of the year, and I guess it would be the second time since 2010, when we started this journey, that Yumi Oka has hit this level. A lot of big boots, of course, from Yumi Oka, as she does. And Kana was very much on the heavy striking game and trying to get suplexes off, really playing off the crowd a lot as she. And Kana puts Yumi Oka away at the end in 12 minutes. This is a 2 out of 3. I'm firmly putting that in a 1/4 star, 3.5 if you're generous type range. I think based on what we've seen of the Joshi scene in 2012 at this point, this is one of the better matches of the year from a singles perspective. Like I said, I put it on, and the Catch the Wave 2012 was very, I thought it was good. You know, definitely go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already. This one kind of met that level of performance there. So let's go back to the Wrestler of the Year. Where does that put Kana in this year? Because she is one of the... I said at the beginning of this podcast, she is, in my mind, a top three wrestler of the scene, if not the best, minus Kurihara. But she's been absent throughout the year. And this match will put her at 13 points, and it's firmly below. It's not even cracking the top 20 at this point in time. She's just outside it. Just hasn't wrestled in featured matches enough throughout 2012, and that's what's really held her back, as opposed to 2011 where and 2010, where she was much heavily featured in main event type stuff. And then we got our main event. Gami and Nakagawa defending the Wave tag titles against the DualShock Wave winners of Fujimoto and Ohada. 19 minutes, 45 seconds. I thought this did not live up to any sort of expectation. Look, Gammy's slow. She can't work anymore. And she constantly hides it with too much comedy spots. Like poking the eyes, small package moves, walking the ropes. And then you mix that in with Fujimoto bringing in the tetherball. And just, she can't swing this thing at all to make it look any menacing or a problem for anyone. Gammy's bringing her fan in. She's spitting water on, well, she's drooling water on people. And just making people go, ew. So whenever it's Nakagawa and Ohada going in the ring, this match is great. Like, if it was just them going at it, it's probably a 2 out of 3 level, 3.5 stars. But unfortunately, with Gami and then Fujimoto doing tetherball stuff, it really brings the match down and constantly halts it throughout the affair. Now, we do get a good finish, where Gami takes a suplex and gets put home clean as a whistle. So there is that. There is a good caveat there. Fujimoto and Ohada look like they win this match with some sort of respect being given, with some sort of clean win. Is it totally clean? No. Is it sold in the same way where, oh yeah, these two are being put over by a veteran team? I didn't get that feeling watching it all. And a good chunk of this match is cut out. So you can just imagine the downtime throughout it. And Gami doesn't run very much. We have Ohada trying to mimic Gami moves. So I can't recommend this match. We did get a title change, so the crowd pops. Of course, there's post-match comments where Gami is putting comedy into it and trying to pop the crowd. Do not enjoy that either. We get Fujimoto and Ohada as tag champions. We're going to see where that leaves. That has nothing to do with really the AAA Reina de Reinas tag titles. Where the tag titles in this promotion head from there. But look, we got Fujimoto kind of doing a double tag champion thing going on. And let me actually pull up some title history here for Reina, since now we're at this point in time, before we head home here. So, title history. So since the tag titles were introduced first, we'll go over them to see what has occurred with Reina tag titles since Fujimoto and Shida won them back in June of 2012 here. Well, seemingly, they will lose these titles the next day. Really? Is that what happens here? Hold on. November 28th, in Ice Ribbon, Hikaru Shida and Tsukasa Fujimoto lose the Ribbon tag titles and the Reina tag titles to Haley Hatred and Hamuko Hoshi. Oh my god. Why? Right, because we covered the November 25th Nagoya show, or at least mentioned it, where they won the titles on November 25th, the ribbon titles from Kurumi and Sakushi, and they turn around 3 days later and lose them both. Great. Fantastic. Okay, so I guess that covers that for November 28th. So we got Haley Hatred and The Ham as champions. And I wonder if those titles are going to stay in Ice Ribbon for the time being. And yes, they will lose them not at Ribbon Mania. They will lose them on December 19th to Kyoko Kimura and Sayaka Obahiro in Ice Ribbon. So these titles are flip-flopping around. And then there will be a Ribbon Mania match, which we will be covering, of Kyoko and Sayaka defending the titles against Aoi, Kizuki, and Tsukushi at Ribbon Mania. Okay, so that's what we're looking forward to. I guess we'll see what happens with that. And then with this Reina World title, let's see if something happens in AAA. If anything happens in AAA, we won't be able to cover it. But, wait a minute. Okay. Reina de Reina's title. Give me this thing. Okay, here we go. Reina de Reina's title. So this is actually a reintroduction to the title. If you will. A lot of vacancies since it was introduced in 99. Oh my god. Many, many, many. Tiffany, Lady Apache, more Tiffany, Fabi Apache in 2008. Okay, so here we go. So it looks like Sexy Star is going to, let's see, is she going to have any defenses in the meantime in AAA? And she will. So here we go. There will be a four-way, and nope, that is from 2011. Oh, interesting. Okay, so Sexy Star had this title throughout 2011 and 2012 with one defense, which was a four-way match, a four-way Bull Terrier match at Noche de Campeones on May 2012, where she defended the title successfully against Cynthia Moreno, we like her, Fabi Apache, and Lolita, and then there was this match. And it appears she will vacate the title, we'll presume injury, in March of 2013. So, no more defenses there. And then, let's see how the title gets chosen here. It will be a four-way elimination match for the vacant title involving Fabi Apache winning over Lufisto, Mary Apache, and Taya Valkyrie. Oh my god. Then we have a freelance show, and then Taya Valkyrie will win this thing in 2014. Okay, so this title is like out of sight, out of mind for a long time. So we don't even have to worry about this title anymore. Which appears to be why they will introduce the Reina title for Japan in September of next year. Okay, so we'll just worry about tag champions going forward with Reina. There we go. So we still got Wrestling New Classic to worry about with Shuri. I'm sure there'll be something going along there until that promotion closes down. And I'm sure it's probably connected in some way. And that'll do it for the first Reina show. This will be a hodgepodge, because if you know anything about Lucha Libre and how these Mexican promotions book, especially AAA, we're in for just a throw your hands up, shit happens kind of situation here. Might as well just read results, because you can't make sense of any of it, because none of it will. Our next episode on this journey through the 2010s is the official Ran UU retirement show at Corken Hall for Oz Academy on December 9th, and that'll be it for Ran UU. Two people in the scene, Toshi Yamatsu and Ran UU, notably retiring in 2012. And then that kicks us off in December of the last month for 2012. So a lot of year-end shows, a lot of important things happening, and a lot of highlights to go over. So we still have the Sendai Girls Smash WNC show. We got Stardom Year-End Climax, JWP Year-End Climax, and Ribbon Mania. That's our upcoming schedule. Guys, Joshi 2010s, if you're listening on All Japan Women Destiny feed, remember to subscribe on the Patreon to get these shows 2 weeks earlier and to help support the research and journey it is to cover these things. Hope you enjoyed. See you next time.